The Coram Deo Church Community is a missional church rooted in historic, biblical Christianity and committed to cultural engagement. We hope the message you're about to hear spurs you to deeper reflection on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening.
This morning's reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 18. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, "I believed, and so I spoke," we also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. The word of God for the people of God.
The turn of the new year is always a meaningful time for our family. Not even one sentence in. Not only because it's a chance for us to look back on the past year and look forward to the next, but because each January marks another anniversary of us moving here to Omaha. See, this coming Tuesday will mark 2 years of our family being here at Coram Deo and here in Omaha. And yes, we did move to Omaha in the middle of January. But in case you're new to Coram Deo, within the past couple of years, let me fill you in. My wife, Cheyenne, and I grew up on the West Coast. We lived pretty much our whole lives in Northwest Washington State, near the coast and just a few miles south of the Canadian border. Cheyenne and I met at the church I grew up in, and after a couple months of dating, we were engaged, and then just a handful of months after that, we were married in September of 2013. Up until that point, in my life and in our lives, we had a relatively smooth life. I grew up in a wonderful family, had what I needed and more. And as we were getting married, I was enjoying the early years of being in vocational ministry. And a few months after that, we found out we were pregnant. But just a handful of months after that, our baby son, Ryler Aaron, was born premature and stillborn at about 24 weeks in May of 2014. And needless to say, we were devastated. And that time afterward was by far the darkest time we've been through. I mean, there's no playbook for this. And throw in a really difficult church experience, our first handful of years of marriage were pretty bumpy. But then in 2016, Cheyenne and I moved from Washington down the coast to Monterey, California, a smallish beach town right there on the central part of California. And there in Monterey, I started and led a small church plant for a couple of years. And I had dreams of being a church planter and a lead pastor. We felt this is where the Lord was leading us. We were excited. God had been preparing us for this new adventure. But I also had just a ton of selfish ambition in my own heart that would eventually catch up to me. See, we decided to close that church plant down. Things were not going well. I was in over my head. I was stressed, tired, never wanting to be a pastor again, and especially never wanting to church plant ever again. So just a couple years into our move to Monterey, we ended that church plant in the fall of 2018. We didn't know what was next. We started attending another church in the area just to heal and just to rest with no plans of being in vocational ministry. But not long after attending, I joined the staff team there as an associate pastor. And those few years after closing our church down have been some of the most life-giving and healing years of our lives. God did some beautiful things in our lives, and as I reflect on our story, there's a few things that are just sort of common threads in each of these chapters. I've had the joy of receiving God's goodness and grace in fresh ways, receive who God has made me and who I'm not. I've had to repent of my pride and arrogance, how I thought I was a certain kind of leader and church pastor and planter when really I was pretending and performing and trying to prove to some people that I could do this. And so even here in Omaha these past 2 years, receiving and repenting have been continual themes in this season of our lives. See, while each person's experience and story is different, we all to varying degrees have moments in our stories that have stretched us, that have challenged us, moments of great loss and suffering. And by God's grace, these moments of hardship and pain can be moments of deepening connection with the Lord. See, if you live life long enough and follow Jesus for any length of time, hardship will come. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. And this is why daily renewal in the Lord is so important. As I've said the past couple of weeks, renewal is core to the mission of our church. The mission statement of our church is as following: we exist to worship God, make disciples, plant churches, and spur gospel renewal everywhere. Gospel renewal, that's been the focus as of late. For the past couple of weeks, we've been in this short series on renewal, a series we've called Renewal Day by Day. Next week, we start our preaching series through the book of Daniel, which will take us to Easter. But for this week, one more sermon on renewal. Renewal, as Tim Keller puts it, is as following: gospel renewal is a life-changing recovery of the gospel. And personal gospel renewal means the gospel doctrines of sin and grace are actually experienced, not just known intellectually. Because God wants you to actually experience the gospel grace, not just know about it. And he wants renewal to happen day by day. Not just in one moment, not just at the beginning of the year. See, in our teaching text, Paul speaks of being renewed daily. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. That series title, Renewal Day by Day, comes from this passage. See, 2 weeks ago, we said renewal requires receiving. Last week, renewal requires repentance. And to wrap things up, and I know some of you have been on the edge of your seat, what is the last R? I mean, it would be pastoral, like malpractice, sinning grievously, if it was not an R at this point. But here's the main idea for this morning: renewal requires resilience. The Oxford Dictionary defines resilience as the capacity to withstand or to recover quickly from difficulties. The ability to withstand, think endurance, tenacity, a stick-to-itiveness over a long period of time to get back up on your feet and keep going. This is resilience. And resilience and themes related to it are all over this passage. See, friends, you cannot microwave discipleship to Jesus. change is slow. And because change is often slow, you will need something stronger than your own willpower to get you through. Pastor and author A.J. Sobota writes, "The real road to maturity is miserably slow. A to B in God's kingdom sometimes includes a lot of circles on the journey, a journey that is rarely linear. It would be nice if we were crows and flew the way they do, but God's people never travel the way crows do." See, one danger in preaching on renewal is that sometimes we might think renewal as like those powerful mountaintop euphoric experiences where God does something in an instant, in one life-changing moment. And yes, God can and does that kind of work. But also, and more regularly, change is often slow. Transformation and renewal can be slow. You might be in a 10-year story, not a 10-second one, this morning. And you will need resilience if you want to experience renewal. So we need to be careful to not think of the Christian life as a hero's journey, or to use language from last week. The Christian life is not all about moving up and to the right. Rather, renewal and maturity and discipleship to Jesus has bumps and bruises. 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. Sometimes 2 steps forward and 3 steps back. If you're going to grow in maturity to Christ, it's going to feel like sometimes you're stuck in neutral. And can I just say, that's okay. Hang in there. Renewal requires resilience. I want to show you this by looking at 2 simple things together. How renewal requires, 1, a resilient source, and 2, a resilient hope. So let's dive in. First, a resilient source. Now, as Paul writes what some of you call 2 Corinthians, see, friends, we're going into year 3. I think the banter is just going to increase at this point. As Paul writes 2 Corinthians, he wants to anchor them in the truths of who God is. Look at verse 6. "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." See, when Paul speaks of jars of clay, he's speaking about something that's fragile, something that, if dropped, is likely going to break, something that is not resilient. And when Paul is speaking about jars of clay, he's speaking about himself, and he's speaking about all of humanity. Human beings are jars of clay, fragile on our own, and on our own, we are not resilient. So how can we have resilience and endurance if we are just a simple, fragile, meager jar of clay? Well, this resilience and endurance comes not from us, the jar of clay, but from what's inside the jar. And what's inside the jar? Well, only if you are in Christ. It's the treasure of the gospel. It's Jesus himself. See, at its core, the gospel is the message of God who takes what is dark and dead and brings light and life, death to life, darkness to light. It's all God's work. It's all because of God's grace. See, elsewhere, Scripture says that a person, before they are united to Christ, is dead in their trespasses and sins, meaning that apart from the grace of God and the work of Christ and the power of the Spirit, no human being can save themselves and come to God. If you are in Christ, your salvation is equivalent to a dead person coming to life. And Scripture is saying here that a Christian salvation and their union with Christ is equivalent to God taking the most utter darkness and from nothing except his own power and his very word, bringing light and life. This is the treasure of the gospel. The God who brings light out of darkness, the God for whom darkness is no match, and at the power of his very word, light shines forth, is in the business of doing that same work today. Paul has experienced this life-changing reality, and you need to as well. See, for Paul, this reality of the good news is the treasure. It's the treasure. It's the only treasure that can produce a life of resilience. And Paul lived his whole Christian life relying on this resilient source of the gospel. See, Paul never moved past the gospel. The gospel is not just something one believes when they become a Christian. The gospel is the ongoing source for resilient renewal day in and day out. Until that day you stand before Jesus face to face, until that great day, you will not, or at least should not, ever move past the beauty and grace of the gospel of Christ. The gospel, as many people have said, is both the entryway into the Christian life, but also the source and power for ongoing renewal in the Christian life. See, look at what the gospel does in the life of a Christian. Look at verse 8. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death as it is at work in us, but life in you. Do you see what the gospel is able to do in Paul? Because the same thing is true of you if you are in Christ. When the gospel goes to work in you, you are able to say and live things like afflicted, but not crushed. You're able to say perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Because of the gospel, you can name the reality of pain and suffering. You can stare evil and suffering down and call it what it is, but that isn't the end of the story. See, let me state something that's really obvious. Life is hard. You will go through hard times. You will suffer. You will experience loss and pain in this life, but that does not mean God is not good. It does not mean God is absent. It does not mean God is not in control. See, some of you right now are in the thick of it. You're beginning this new year wondering and questioning if you can even make it through another year. You've experienced the effects of sin and the sin of others is creating a wasteland in your life. Relationally, things are just painfully hard. You're acutely aware of how destructive sin is. Or maybe medically, you're in the midst of complete uncertainty. And you know God is in control, but existentially those words often feel flat. Even now, you're maybe questioning, why even bring something like that up? Or maybe just the day-to-day is exhausting. It's hard. It's not necessarily one particular thing. It's hard to put your finger on it. Things are just perplexingly difficult. And regardless of the specifics, you find yourself seeking escape. You find yourself seeking renewal in something other than the gospel. But deep down, your soul isn't being renewed. You're on the brink of giving up. Resilience to you sounds more like a burden than it does a gift. And if that's you this morning, can I just say, That Jesus sees you. Jesus is pursuing you. You're not here by accident. The Spirit of God has more for you. The Spirit, the living God, wants to bring renewal to your life day by day. God is saying to you this morning, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because God, who shines light in darkness, that even when you are afflicted, you do not have to be crushed. Even when you are perplexed, despair does not have to define you. Even when you are struck down, that is not the end of your story. You are not destroyed. God is at work. And we must remember that God can take the dissonant notes of our suffering and weave them into his beautiful redemptive plan. But here is the hard truth. If you really want renewal in your life, it's often going to come along the path of suffering and hardship. Outside of Eden, suffering is one of the tools God uses to bring renewal. Dane Ortlund writes, if you want to be a solid, weighty, radiant old man or woman someday, let the pain in your life force you to believe your own theology. Let it propel you into deeper fellowship with Christ than ever before. Don't let your heat dry up. He is in your pain. He is refining you. And this leads to our second point. Renewal requires a resilient hope. See, human beings are creatures who hope. It's part of what makes us human. And for Paul, the hope of the gospel continues to build resilience in his life. Verse 16, he says, for we do not lose heart. It's a phrase that speaks to resilience. And all throughout the Bible, this resilience comes not from one's own self-determination, not from one's own grit, but from God. It's also the same word and phrase used at the beginning of the parable of the persistent widow in Luke 18. There, Luke writes, and he told them, Jesus, a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. See, in this parable, Jesus will go on to teach his disciples that persistence and resilience in prayer is key. But this resilience is rooted in the fact that God is a generous God. It's because God is a generous God who loves to respond to his children that therefore, Jesus' disciples should be resilient in prayer. And in a similar way, because we have been called by God and have received the Father's love and received the finished work of the Son and have the gift of the Holy Spirit, we too do not lose heart. Because Christians have an eternal hope, we do not lose heart, verse 16. We can have resilience. See, specifically, in verse 16 and following, this resilience is rooted in what Paul knows to be certain about his future. Look at what the text says. 16, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Our outer self is wasting away. I don't need to tell you that our earthly bodies are wasting away. Many of us feel that to varying degrees. But in addition, when Paul says that our outer selves are wasting away, I don't think he's just talking about our physical bodies. See, that word self, Paul uses is the word anthropos. It's the Greek word for man, humankind, or even person. See, the outer man, the outer person is, yes, the physical side of things, but it's also the outer person in the sense how we humans tend to prioritize our outer world at the expense of our inner world. See, in many ways, it's easier to manage our outer world, at least for a moment. We can pretend like life is going great. You can curate your own image. You can work really hard at moving up and to the right, but if you have built your life where the priority is your outer life at the expense of your inner life, it's only a matter of time before things collapse. The outer person is fading away. And see, when you haven't cultivated an inner life built on the hope of the gospel, then the pressure of your outer world will cave in on your inner world. But with an eternal hope, you can experience resilient renewal. See, renewal starts internally before it's manifested externally. Look at how 17 puts it. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen, they're eternal. See, God wants to do something eternal in you. He wants to renew you. And this day-by-day renewal God is doing is something that will last forever. Like, I know it doesn't often feel like that. It often doesn't seem like God really is at work. Change is slow. Growth is slow. And again, this is why resilience is needed. Sam Alberry puts it beautifully. He says, we can easily feel defeated in our Christian lives. We can easily think that we will never change, that we are doomed to live in the same failings time and time again. But that is to limit Jesus. How can we come into such an intimate union with him and not be changed? We will not yet become all that we are meant to be. For that, we await the new creation. But there is no way we will remain stuck in what we used to be. Fruit will come. See, hardship and difficulty provides a unique opportunity to experience renewal in a way, honestly, times of ease just don't. But having an eternal hope grounds us in resilient renewal today. See, hope is not naivety. Hope is not an uncontested journey. Hope is not a life free of pain and hurt. Hope is the promise of Psalm 112, where it says, surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Can you imagine living that way without fear of bad news? With a relaxed, content way of being in every circumstance. Where the circumstances of this life, the legitimate causes for anxiety and worry in this world, cannot take away your ultimate hope. That's having a resilient hope. Hope. Hope in God is the only thing that can sustain a resilient life of renewal. But we often hope and find hope in other things. See, every one of us, every human being is a creature of hope. And see, we tend to reduce hope to shallow happiness. Happiness in changing circumstances, the outcome of that interview, moving to that zip code, having that kind of family, but it never ends. The assumption humming in the background is that I'm only one tweak, one change, one moment away from breakthrough. But then life happens. I graduate and the job isn't as fulfilling as I thought. Or finally, the one thing I've been dreaming for, the biggest dream, that promotion, that performance review, that person who will finally love me finally happens. But then 6 months later or 6 years later, I'm afraid to admit to myself, much less anyone else, that my biggest dream has become my biggest disappointment. See, hope reduced to my own definition is always too fragile to begin with and always too weak to build resilience. We're people of hope, every single one of us, Christian or not, but our fragile hopes will not give us the renewal that we long for. But let me remind you of the eternal hope we as Christians have. See, our God does not stand far off. He doesn't stand far off with his arms crossed. That even though we as his image bearers have defiled and made a mess of this world, our God entered into the pain and suffering and affliction of this world. Jesus, the Bible says, did not count equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage, that Christ left his glorious throne, was born in humility, and lived a perfect life, the life that each of us are called to live yet perpetually fail to live. And in full obedience and surrender to the Father, Jesus willingly, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, gives up his very life to forgive and redeem guilty sinners. And he is crucified and executed on our behalf. But Christ did not stay dead. On the third day, by the power of the Spirit, Christ is raised from the dead, defeating sin and death and the devil. Christ is raised for our justification, ascends to the right hand of the Father, and rules and reigns over all. And he gives his people, his Holy Spirit, to be empowered to live a new kind of life and to participate in his renewal project of the entire world. And Jesus promises that one day soon, he will return in glory to judge the living and the dead and to make all things new. He will wipe away every tear. Suffering and death and pain will be no more. And so anyone who would turn from their sin and simply trust and cling to him is united to him. Anyone can get in on this. And at that point, nothing can separate you from his love. See, the reason Christians can have a sure and steadfast hope is because we can look back to the finished work of Jesus and receive that. Because the Bible teaches that what happened to Jesus will happen to all followers of Jesus. Death, followed by burial, followed by resurrection. And see, in many ways, we come back to where this whole preaching series on renewal began. Receiving. Because here's the question. Will you receive Jesus Christ and the eternal hope that he provides? Some of you need to hear God's invitation today. Turn from your sin and simply rest and trust and receive Christ for the first time. And for some of us, many of us, God is inviting you not to move past the gospel, but to rely ever more deeply on the hope of the gospel. See, as we look to and continue to look to the hope of the gospel, there and only there can true resilience be experienced. We don't move past the gospel. Look what verse 18 says. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things unseen. See, to be human is to look, and what we look to reveals where our hope is. The only question is, to whom and to what are you looking? As we look. Look to what? Well, God in his kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus said. And in many ways, we don't fully see the kingdom of God. It's here, and it's coming. I mean, we don't see Jesus face to face, but the Bible promises that for those who are in Christ, there is coming a day where we will see him face to face. We will see and experience a new creation where we don't see and experience death and pain. We will see and experience God's presence in a way we cannot fully imagine right now. But we must look and look together. Because let me say something completely obvious, but revolutionary if we actually live this out. We is plural. For you to experience renewal and resilience over a lifetime, we look to the things unseen. You cannot do this alone. You cannot have resilience without the body of Christ. We look together, not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. And sometimes that means leaning on others as they point you to Jesus. Because for you, despair and affliction seem bigger. And sometimes that means you help others in their moments of hardship. Sometimes, as Pastor Bob told me recently, you're the ambulance driver, and sometimes you're in the ambulance. But regardless, we look together to the things unseen. And so that's my prayer. May God continue to form us into this kind of church family. God is going to fully bring his kingdom. God will wipe away every single tear. Death and suffering and pain will be no more. But until that great day, when, not if, we face affliction, when, not if, change seems slow, may we look to him. Him who is preparing for us something eternal, something more beautiful beyond all comparison. And may that truth build resilience in your soul this morning. So God, we ask that you would do that kind of work in us. Spirit of God, would you do that kind of resilient renewal in each of our souls? God, you know where each one of us is feeling weak and tired. You know those in this room who are on the brink of giving up. Spirit of God, in this moment, in this place, would you meet them now? Would you help each and every one of us to see and to look to you? Would the source and hope of our renewal and who you're making us to be found in you and you alone? So Jesus, come. Spirit of God, come. Do that work amongst us. Build resilience in your people. Build resilience in my life. So we love you and we thank you and we pray these things in your name. Amen.